Blog Talk Radio.
This is a team of voices presents Liquid Damage Lounge with Linda and Carmine, and sponsored by the poet A.T. Taylor.
It's a pleasure being with you and the gang tonight.
Our group is filled with love and respect. We are also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe. We're with listeners from over 60 countries. That's amazing. The hosting team offers a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something different going on every night of the week. You never know what we have up our sleeves, like jokes, poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, and special events with poetic topics from A to Z. And you are invited to join in with us for all the fun. Just click on to listen to the live show or to hear any pre-recorded episode. And you can also call up to participate at 1-646-668-2837. You can find our hosts and hostesses writing over at allpoetry.com and hanging out in the Team of Voices radio group chat room. Our hosts and hostesses push love and respect. Stop in and check us out. So hi, everybody. I'm glad you're all here. let me welcome Jay to the show. Where is she? She's coming. Hi, Jay.
I'm right here. Hello.
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing fine, honey. Thanks for the welcome.
Okay. Right on. We just got started, so we haven't got any. Hey, you know what? Do you know why
what?
You never see elephants hiding up in trees?
No, why?
Because they're really good at it.
Do you know why elephants have red eyes?
Why?
No.
So they can hide in cherry trees.
Oh. What is red and smells like blue paint?
I don't know.
Red paint.
Oh, geez.
That's
terrible. Do you know why bunny rabbits have shiny noses?
Why do bunny rabbits have shiny noses?
Because the powder puff is on the wrong end.
Oh, I like that one. That's cute. That's cute.
Thank you.
I'll have to write that down for later. So anyway,
hey,
we
Linda,
got some
you
great
know,
poetry
Linda.
Tonight. What's that, Carmine?
You know, Linda, I went to the doctor today, and I told my doctor that I broke my arm in two places. And you know what he said to me? Mm. He told me to stop
what?
Going to those places.
Oh.
You guys are killing me tonight. Let me see.
Good. You know, really,
I'm
Linda,
addicted.
Worrying works for me. You know why?
Why is worrying work for you?
90% of the time when I worry about it, never happens.
Oh.
There's truth in that, too.
I'm addicted to brake fluid, but I can stop whenever I want.
I knew that was coming.
Ba-dum-bum.
Cha-ching. Right on.
I read that
smoking
is no good for your health, so I've decided to give up reading.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Right
Linda,
on.
Why do
What's
seagulls
that?
Fly over the sea?
I know, because if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels.
You smart girl, you get it.
I killed it. That's the old one.
Bagels.
Okay, two penguins walked into a bar, which is stupid because the second one should have seen it.
Oh,
God.
I love bar jokes. My favorite one is... A termite walks into the bar and asks, is the bartender here?
A termite.
Get it? Is the bartender here? Is the bartender here?
Yeah.
Did you guys get
That's a thinking man's
That's
poem.
That's a gotcha one. I love that joke.
I got one more for you, Linda, and then we'll do our hush. What do you call a well-dressed lion?
Huh. I don't know, Carmine. What do you call a
dandelion?
A dandelion. Funny stuff. Okay, let's
what do
see
you see on
here.
Small beaches?
Small beaches. I don't know. What do you see on small beaches, Jay?
Microwaves.
Oh.
Good deal.
Okay.
I've got a longer joke.
I've got some poetry.
I've got a longer joke, Linda. I've got a longer joke first if you want. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
a koala bear walks into a bar, sits down, and orders a BLT sandwich. The koala eats the BLT sandwich, gets up, spins round, pulls a pistol out of his pouch and shoots the piano player and proceeds to walk out of the bar. The bartender in shock shouts to the koala, "Hey, who do you think you are? You ate my sandwich, shot my piano player, and just where do you think you're going?" The koala replies, "Hey, I'm a koala. Look it up." The frustrated bartender pulls out a dictionary from behind the bar and looks up koala. The dictionary said, "Noun, a marsupial shoots and leaves." End joke.
Very cute. Very cute. That's another good bar joke.
Yeah, bar jokes are fun.
I know. Okay, one more. A priest, a rabbi, and a Christian scientist walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "What is this, a joke?" Da-da-da.
No, I get it.
Come on, guys.
I'm lost. Somebody explain it to this dummy here.
You know, they tell jokes with the rabbi, the priest, and say Barbara Streisand or something. And so
got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well,
you have to put out a guidebook with these things for me.
Yeah. Well. So where are we starting, Linda? We got a big list.
Yeah, we do. Let me see. I think we should start with, we can start with our usual Dave Muddy.
Yes, we can do that. And I'll put it up on the board now. And we need a reader there, don't we? Linda, is that right? Okay.
It's up. Hang on, let me get it. Wait a minute. Let me refresh.
You got it?
Let me go down. No, I'm coming up with your painting. Oh, let me go down. Oh, I get it.
Go down.
There we go, Dave Muddy. You want to read that, AP?
Yeah, I'll read it. I'll read it for my friend Dave, fellow Australian and all that. This is Living Art, and by Dave Muddy. It goes a bit like this. Silver linings are corrupted by his struggles. Hollow love just leaves him in the shallows. Fighting hard knocks curse with bleeding knuckles. Self-respect left hanging at the gallows. Bruised shadows, wounding his contrite broken heart, unbattered battles surging, confronting nights. Crucified emotions, now his living art. Cruel beauty singing, revealed in what he writes. Stories bringing rust to nightmare's edge, breathing scars into visions he once sought. Painting expressions way on life's ledge, framing masterpieces by pain, ill thought. In poem.
Wow.
Wow.
You know,
that's
this is
pretty.
Absolutely amazing. Dave, he has created a tapestry of life struggles and represented it in a poetic excellence. This is beautifully written and thought-provoking. Also, it really pulls the heartstrings. The imagery is full of grand moments. However dark, they are beautiful as well. My favorite part is verse 2, honest emotions and the heart, bruised shadows wounding his contrite broken heart, unguarded battles surging, confronting nights, crucified emotions, now his living art, cruel beauty singing, revealed in what he writes. That is just such a beautiful, beautiful verse. it's honest emotions and true heart fill the words here. You have definitely put your soul into this piece. I want to thank you, Dave. This is very well done. And you can come back anytime. We really love your poetry. Let me give you some more comments. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, it was a poem after my sort of home style, an AB style poem. But it was a poem that asked questions of the reader. It was thought, and I think he did a great job with it.
Yeah, it's true. Jay.
I love the expressions in this. They're just beautiful. Silver linings corrupted by his struggles. Hollow love just leaves him in the shallows. And it's great expression. You know, it paints pictures for you. Stories bringing rust to nightmare's edge, breathing scars into visions he once sought. It's lovely. It just tells you exactly how he's feeling. And you can identify with that feeling. We've all been somewhere we didn't want to be that we thought we did in the first place. I just love it. It's beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
Lovely choices of words. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an amazing writer. He's from Australia, like AP.
Wow.
So he's from far away down under. And Carmine, what did you think?
Well, I'll tell you, the first line really is sets the mood, because he says, how the love leaves him in the shadows. Well, you can see what's happening. Of course, the most important aspect would be when he talks about the crucified emotions, that whereby this painful thought about the struggles of life, he's expressing it in writing. And let's face it, pain really makes one great. And it's also the enduring of that pain that, as far as I'm concerned, is even greater. So his emotions, his writing and everything is just expressively beautiful. And as always, I agree with all of what you had said. Dave really has a wonderful talent in expressing his work through poetry.
Right on. Yeah, I just got a message from Titus, but I don't see any changes made, so I guess we got it right. I hope we got it right. Well, you guys are great. I'm sure Dave appreciates every word you say. So thank you again, Dave. Come back next show, which would be, oh, my God, I don't have my calendar. When is my next show? Does anybody have a calendar?
Let me have a look, because it's the middle to Fridays, isn't it, Linda?
Yeah, Friday the what?
It's the middle two Fridays. So it's going to be May the 10th and May the 17th next month.
May the 10th and 17th. Thank you very much, darling. My calendar that I had ran out, and now I forgot to bring my new one over. So thank you.
I had a calendar like that once.
Yeah,
that's not a very helpful calendar. It's a dead calendar. It's sort of like the dead parrot that John Cleese had. It's sort of like as useful. You can't look up any day. You know, it's like
he's not dead. He's pining for the fjords.
There you go. See, same thing. Calendars doing too.
That was Dave. How about a heavenly angel?
We can do that. Now, who are you going to get to read it?
Oh, I'll read hers. RJ, you want to read hers?
Sure.
Okay, there
to
we go.
You,
then.
To you, my
yes,
forever.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. Let me get on the right page there. Love that picture.
Isn't that gorgeous? Wow. The colors.
Yeah. You got it, Carmine?
Yes, I do.
Okay, isn't that a pretty picture?
It's gorgeous.
I love the colors. Okay, anytime you're ready, Jay.
All righty. I may mispronounce cicadas because I'm not sure what how they're pronounced. To you, my forever. The night owls and cicadas' melodious songs can be heard long into the purple velvet night as I sit reminiscing the moment we two shared. A soft summer breeze elicits gentle ripples on the water's surface, a cool change to the heat of the day. Gazing up into a diamond-chipped sky, I envision you, my darling. Every day of my life, I'll be your lady. I'll always call your name when I want strong arms to hold me, sweet, tender lips to kiss me, or gentle whispers to soothe my weary soul. Listen to your heart, though my flesh, through the marrow of my bones, you are my destiny. I know it. Love is a bridge we crossed long ago, to step into forever together. End of poem.
That is so lovely. Angel always touches my soul with her poetry. I just love the sweet, gentle steps that this poem takes and the soft, colorful soul it has. My favorite part is listen to your heart. Through my flesh, through the marrow of my bones, you are my destiny. I know it. This is so eloquently written and sings the song so bright. You definitely have an honest contact with love, and I love that. You are an amazing writer, Angel. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And Jay, you read it. What did you think?
I just love the feeling of it. Every day of my life, I'll be your lady. When I want strong arms to hold me. She's talking about all the things that she misses and that she treasures. It's a love song to her partner. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely good comment. Carmine.
It's a very expressive, touching work. And, of course, I love some of the descriptions that she uses when she, one of them I would mention, a diamond-chipped sky. That is very unique. One of the other aspects when she said that they crossed the love bridge and then to step into forever. So you see her heart is there. It's very, very poignant. It's very sensitive. And it mentions her love will be forever. So when you have that kind of love, it's very deep, very intense. And it's a true love, a love that's loyal, honest, and that kind of love is a forever love. She did an excellent job, and as always, our heavenly angel is really an angel of wonderful, wonderful, expressive poetry.
Right on, Carmine. You say it like it's true. AP. Oh, before the AP, we're going to welcome Deb to the show. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Linda. Hey, everyone.
Hey, Deb.
We'll get Jeff next. So AP was going to comment on Heavenly Angel's poem.
Yes. Well, if we look there, Linda, you'll see that in the author's notes that she has used the lyrics from the Little River Band, a range of songs, Cool Change, Lady, Reminiscing, etc. And the Little River Band was from Australia, and it was from my city, Melbourne.
Wow.
Lots more. It gets closer. Graham Goble wrote Reminiscing, the song, and he was the previous owner of the house I lived in 10 years ago. So I lived in Graham Goble's house.
Oh, my God.
And it was called, and he still had his studio at the back. It was called The House That Reminiscing Built, because basically he built it on the royalties of Reminiscing being played all over the world.
Wow.
Wow.
That's some cool history there.
True story. There you go.
Wow.
Provenance.
There you go.
Okay. Well, Deb's here and she's got to run, so we got to grab Deb's poem. My computer. There we go.
Okay, ready?
Okay, wait 1 second. Carmine, can you back off your microphone just slightly? We're hearing your breath.
Yes, okay.
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 Thank you
very
much, darling. Not a problem. Go for it, Deb.
Okay, thank you. This is called The Assembled Sum of All Your Parts. And it's written, you know how we get those little names on the levels that we're in? This person who's holding the contest is a surreal Skittle, and she wanted some kind of definition of surreal Skittle. So this was my interpretation. Again, The Assembled Sum of All Your Parts. Here we go. Skittles are pieces, not rainbow-tasting candies. Parts. Like wooden pins knocked over by wood discs or by a 12-pound fiberglass bowling ball. Or like porcelain teacup shards shattered into mosaic colors. But those broken bits can create a surreal masterpiece. As you travel, choosing a path at crossroads, shut a door, or as you open a window, your collage of colors grows. It tells a story, like scenes on stained glass panels linked by lead. You're built from parts from fallen teardrops, from triggered giggles, and from scars marking flesh. You are a surreal Skittle, gem, a masterpiece, forged by the journeys in your life.
Wow.
Why do I feel like I read this already? Did I bring this here?
What's that?
It's only a couple of days old. I don't know. I had a deja vu while I was reading, like I had already read it on a show. But anyway, no, sorry. Go ahead.
Wow. That's cool. Anyway, it was a fantastic piece of art, and I love the direction you took with the Skittles taste a piece of the rainbow, color flying everywhere, creating other colorful art. What a great visual that gave me. My favorite part is this, you're built from parts from fallen teardrops, from triggered giggles, and from scars marking flesh. You are a surreal Skittle, a gem, a masterpiece. I think that just gives it so much power. It's very abstract in thought, but I loved it, Deb. I thought it was very cool how you put that together.
Thank you, Linda.
Let's see. You're very welcome. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, this girl, she knows how to write. I like the comparisons as far as the Skittles life and everything that's challenging as far as life is concerned. It has a beautiful flow, and as far as the journeys of life is concerned, you're going to have the bumpy parts as well as the smooth ones, but most of it, believe it or not, winds up being bumpy, whether you like it or not. In any event, this girl really has some wonderful aspects here, and at the end, when she says it's a gem, it's a masterpiece, well, of course, anybody can go through that journey, will wind up being, really super. And that's what I call her poem, a super poem.
Oh, thank you, Carmine.
Yeah. You're welcome, Mike.
AP.
Yeah, I like this piece. I like how it draws different threads and different connections, whether they be stars or glass panels or the collage of colors. It's
cool. Jay.
I like especially the way she introduces it to us and gives us examples like a porcelain teacup shards shattered into mosaic pieces. For some reason, that made me think of a stained glass church window. But you get the idea that she's talking about all the parts being shattered and broken, and yet they come together and they tell a story. And she brings it to a close by saying, you're built from parts. And as you were saying, from fallen teardrops, from triggered giggles, from scars marking flesh, we're all little pieces of something. And it's just nice, it's a nice feeling. You suddenly feel, I suddenly felt like there was more to me than I'd ever thought of before.
Wow, what a
great
And that's
a nice closure.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Great. Wonderfully written by Darling. And I think that's everybody.
And you can just push my show for me if you don't mind. Just a quick question. When AP was commenting for me, did everybody hear him? Because I didn't. It was broken up.
It was broken up.
Yeah, it kind of got broken up at the end.
Okay, because I want them to go through the whole rest of the show, so maybe we'll dial back. Yeah, I'll call in again. Let's see how we go.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and Jay, it was very nice to hear your voice. Nice talking to you. And I have to go. Linda and Carmine, take care. Love and respect, everyone.
Love and respect to you too, Deb.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep changing the subject on you and being rude and interrupting, but when you get a chance, show Carmine the front page of Blog Talk Radio because his name appears there. As a matter of fact, when I hang up, I'll put it on the chat wall real fast so that he can see it.
Oh, yeah.
Just scroll down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to go.
Great. Thanks, Deb. Yeah, Carmine, she put your name on the banner on the top of my show when I introduce everybody, when I say all my stuff. Anyway, it's kind of cute. It says Linda and Carmine.
Wow. Okay, I'll tell you. I don't know what to say. Anyway,
yeah.
Bless your heart. I appreciate it.
Right on. Okay. I put up Titus's because I know it's getting late in England, so we need to. It's on the board now, and it's SoundCloud. So let me get to my studio. Is everybody ready?
I'm ready.
You got it, Carmine?
Yes.
Okay. AP, you got it? Uh-oh, AP dropped. Oh, no. There you are.
I'm back. Is that better,
you're
Linda,
back.
In terms of a line?
Much better.
Yeah. Okay. Righto. Cool. Thank you.
Right. You keep disappearing on me. Okay, we were about ready to do Titus.
Go for it.
It's on the board, so you can grab it up. Here we go.
Love's done roaming. Prodigious beauty bright succeeds the many times our barely dares. To speak of love where risk exceeds beyond thine notice to have shared. Delight in seeking, making pleads. You'll mention also that she cared that from such friendship godly deeds have gone from something we prepared than I have waited to occur. How happy now composed the sun, more worthy mentions about her. One's day of warmth the night begun, that silence would endear prefer, insisting what these words have done. For less, more worthy glance for her, respect shall weave sincerely spun.
Well, once more, an exquisite piece of art, my friend, just lovely. How beautiful to find a love so innocent. This is a dream come true in the heart. Your poem is so eloquent and illuminating, filling my spirit with bright light. It captures each word in a tribute to love. My favorite part is verse 3. Then I have waited to occur. How happy now composed the sun, more worthy mentions about her. One day's of warmth, a night begun. That is just so pretty. This is finely tuned and so romantic, as if this whole as is the whole poem. Thank you, Tony and Lord Byron, for your masterpiece of love. This was just a beautiful tribute to Lord Byron by Tony, and he did a fantastic job on it. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the poem by Lord Byron, but it's She Walks in Beauty. It's very pretty. It's down below if you want to check it out. AP, what did you think?
Well, Linda, there were two quotes that went to underpin this poem. The first, of course, was by Lord Byron, and the second piece was a quote by Winnie the Pooh. Sometimes the smallest things take the most room in your heart, which is really very cute.
That's right.
I like Winnie the Pooh very much. Wonderful poem, great character, and it takes some doing to actually mix the words of Byron and Winnie the Pooh, and Titus is the one for it. Great job.
Yeah, beautiful. Jay, what did you think?
I love the sing-song sound of it. It's smooth, it's mellow, it's romantic, it's tender, and it just brings forth feelings of serenity and peacefulness. It's a lovely piece to read more than once because you have to get the full flavor of it. And delight in making pleads. You'll mention also that she cared, that from such friendship godly deeds have gone from something we prepared. It's just beautiful, beautifully written. Love it. That's talent. That's real talent.
Yes. Good comment, Jay. Carmine.
You know, our dearest of writers, Titus, would have been very, very welcome in the age of Romanticism, and I'm quite sure he would have been a very dear friend of Lord Byron. You can see the passion in his work. His words flow like water coming out of a faucet. And, you know, he's talking about love and he's talking about friendship here. The imagery is really very beautiful. Of course, when he's aspecting about Lord Byron's poem, She Walks in Beauty of the Night. It's a wonderful testimony in behalf of the great writer. So you gotta give him a lot of credit when he takes something that is a masterpiece, and then what he writes about that piece is in parallel to what had been written. So our dearest writers, Titus, just keep on writing, because we love your work. We just laud you for all your talent, and you deserve so much credit, really.
Very nice. Carmine, I want you to go to the chat wall where the links come out, right? Are you there?
No, let's see, I don't know about that, Linda. I'm not that cool as far as when it comes to this computer is concerned.
It's the wall where you get the poem links are that go up that we read.
You get the links
You tap to get the poem. That's the page.
Oh.
And if you go down to the bottom, there's a link there. It's called Poetry Live and Upcoming. Do you see it? It's blogtalkradio.com, Poetry Live and Upcoming.
I'm not with you, my dear. I can't find it. You know,
we'll do it after the show.
Okay.
Computer, but anyway.
All right. Let's see. Next, Ethan Smith.
Yep. Put that up on the board, Linda. Now, he needs a reader, so are you happy for me to do that for him?
I'm sure. Sure, unless Carmine wants to do it. You want to give Carmine one? It's visiting hours.
You want me to read that?
Yes,
yeah.
Would you like to?
Yeah, so visiting hours.
That's it, by Ethan Smith.
It's visiting hours, is that what it is?
That's the one.
That's right.
Okay, that's it, okay. Visiting hours. I think it was late night on the night before. My fingers were fuzzy and my face was sore. And that's when I heard a knock on the door. Except the door was my head. So I sat up in bed and opened my head. And out crawled me, but younger and dead. Bubbling up from a place that I dread. He snuggled up tight in a damp little spot. My intestines twirled and tied into knots. He whispered weird thought that I hadn't thought. He heaved in my ear about a her I forgot. Mumbling so bizarre, it gave me a fright. I looked at his eyes and flipped on the light. I just trying to get some sleep tonight. Suddenly, he shriveled and folded like an aster with blight. I reckon I would have gone back to bed, but it was daylight.
Bravo. Bravo. Wow. Good read, Carmine. This was a delightfully cute
I love that poem. It's
story.
Cute. It really is. It shows it's different, you know, it's different. It has a different flavor.
Yeah.
And he's so clever in doing that because, he's thinking about it, he's imagining, and to him it's reality. And many times our night dreams or imaginations run away from us, and actually they become a reality, they become real. And then we get up and say, oh, my God, was that a dream or was it was a dream. Wow. And that's the way life is.
Yeah.
And so our minds do sometimes play with us, which in this poem is a very, very wonderful example. And he deserves a lot of credit for that imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved how he rhymed the last word of the verse with the last word of the line of the next verse. So it kind of continued the rhyme into the next verse. I thought that was very clever. And the imagery was full of weirdness that made me smile. Very well done. I think this is such an adorable piece. I loved it. My favorite part was verse 3. My intestines twirled and tied into knots. He whispered where thoughts that I hadn't thought. He heaved in my ear about a her I forgot, mumbling so bizarre it gave me a fright. That is just so descriptive and well penned. Thank you, Ethan. This was perfect, and please come back again. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, it's got great rhyme in it, and that rhyme sort of, as you said, you know, goes and creates a beautiful flow that goes through the piece, and so you've got great rhythm and cadence. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it. With the damage.
Right on. And Jay,
I think this is cute. It's just so funny. Suddenly he shriveled and folded like an aster with blight. It just cracked me up. The rhyme, too, as you pointed out, is very unusual. He snuggled up tight in a damp little spot. My intestines twirled and tied into knots. He's just telling you all about how it felt. And dreams are like
yeah.
that. Sometimes
yeah.
you wonder if you dreamt it or if it was real until you wake up, especially when you said my fingers were
like
fuzzy
that.
And my face was sore.
Yeah.
Right. Very good. Okay, let's see. How about Quicken SoundCloud next?
Of course. We can do that.
Here's a bomb, AP.
So, it's now on the board now. So, if you've got SoundCloud ready, we're away, Linda.
Yep. This is beautifully done, too.
Beneath bleeding skies, by Quicken. I am stirred beneath the skies in which blood rains. I find myself standing amidst the field, drenched in the blood of warriors long gone. The sacred and the lamentations of the fallen ones now serves as my arena of defiance. Brandishing my sword, manifestation of my unyielding fury, I confront the living darkness, a specter of retribution against this abyss. A fierce determination ignites within me, the thought, is this where I meet my end? Barely surfaces before it is quashed by my steadfast resolve. For their sake, I will fight. My inner voice declares, dispelling any flicker of doubt. My spear stands as a fortress against despair. The landscape around me weaves a tale of both horror and heroism. Each foe I vanquish adds to the grisly tapestry. A terrain slick with blood, strewn with the remnants of the defeated. Severed limbs and eviscerated bodies mark the earth, which moans under the burden of their agony. My blade arcs through the air, its trajectory marked by blood spray that mirrors the crimson downpour. Each strike orchestrates a symphony of destruction that echoes in the bones and sinews of my adversaries. The slaughter kindles a somber satisfaction within me. With every slash, I draw closer to the end. I acknowledge embracing the dark purpose of my existence. I am their end. I realize my actions as a whirlwind of rage and precision, slicing through the throng of enemies with deadly grace. As the grip of death tightens, my ferocity intensifies, coloring my final moments with acts of raw brutality. This ultimate confrontation set against the world that bleeds from the heavens cements my legacy in a saga penned in my blood and defiance. Amidst the devastation, I stand as the incarnation of war itself, my essence merging with the rain as I wreak havoc upon my foes. For their memory, I have become the storm. I acknowledge with unwavering clarity. Facing my defies, my spirit, wild and indomitable, soars, serving as a beacon for those who will follow. Let my fall herald their new dawn, I vow, driving my sword into the blood-soaked earth, making my final stand as I remain upright, even as the light fades from my eyes.
Wow. I don't know what to say. This was absolutely amazing. It was written with such eloquence and solid imagination and intensity. I love how the verses flow with the smooth ambience, but a masterful and solid imagery as well. The imagery here was stunning and intense, and it walked me through each verse with an authentic feel about them. You have reached the apex of awesomeness, Quicken. My favorite part, I think, it's hard to say, but I think verse 3, as the grip of death tightens, my ferocity intensifies, coloring my final moments with acts of raw brutality, the ultimate confrontation that against a world that bleeds from the heavens cements my legacy in a saga penned with my blood and defiance. Amidst the devastation, I stand as the incarnation of war itself, my essence merging with the rain as I wreak havoc upon my foes. How just eloquent is that? Although it's very dark, it has its beauty as well. It's just wonderfully written, and it's kind of like the ballet. He's dancing through this killing ground and swinging his swords and leaving behind him debauchery. And it's like choreographed by a master. Thank you, Quicken. This was awesomely wonderful. I don't even know how to begin to explain this, but let me give you some more comments. We'll go with Jay first.
This is so powerful. The slaughter kindles a somber satisfaction within me. He's talking about the satisfaction of killing, which is horrible. With every slash, I draw closer to the end. I acknowledge embracing the dark purpose of my existence. So he's telling you that he is the killer and he is war. He is the essence of what war preponderates on other people. I realize my actions, a whirlwind of rage and precision, slicing through the throng of enemies with deadly grace. It is a ballet with deadly grace, and though he's talking about murder and killing and death and dying and blood, he's speaking in terms of swift, graceful motions. I just see that way, and it feels just like it's never going to end. Very, very powerful piece. Very strong. I love it. It's very powerful. Yes. Took my breath away.
Yeah. And in the darkness, there's so much beauty in his writing that it's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to breathe. I was afraid I'd miss something.
Oh, yeah. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, well, firstly, he's got a wonderful voice to portray that piece because you felt like you were there. You know, wars back in those days were people with swords, you know, chopping each other to bits, and in some ways that was sort of better because you brought on a war and you were at the front of it if you were leading it, and a lot of them didn't come back. And so, you know, end war. And so there's something about that inevitability that's in this piece, because it would have been inevitability. And there's something sort of brutal about it, and there's something sort of honorable about it as well.
Right. Well said. Carmine.
This is really magnificent writing, and I mentioned it that it really quickened my blood as far as the expressions were concerned. The warrior was willing to sacrifice his life for the welfare of others. Of course, his sword was an instrument of death, and you see the darkness, you see the killings, you see the manifestation of war being the blood like rain, and so the field, the death, and everything that encompasses the writing is circled around the warrior, but the warrior stands above it. The warrior is the one who kills only for a purpose, and that purpose really is for the welfare of others. And how he is a beacon of light and also something of others to look forward to. And I mentioned that, you know, Charles Dickens wrote about the last few lines when Charles Darnay said, it's a far, far better place that I go. It's a far, far better rest than I would, you know, be. And it shows how that love, how that intensity of willing sacrifice on the part of the character brings out the magnificent aspect of humanity. And in this case, it's dark, but it's reality. It's deep, intense reality. And I've been to two wars, and I was in one of them, especially the Korean War. And I'm telling you, it's no fun. And I'm telling you, this piece right here was a reality of all realities. And when you look at it and you say, well, that's humanity for you. Will there ever be peace? That's a good question. But that's what we hope for and we pray for. You did an excellent job, a far, far excellent job. And I say bravo.
Right on. Yes, bravo. Thumbs up for Quicken's poem. Okay, I put up Carmine's next on the board. Does everybody see it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, Carmine, you're up.
I'm ready. Okay. right, my dear. My heart extols with gratitude. A blanket of stars, crystals of the night, eons of time, millions of miles for my eyes' delight. An autumn wind dancing with leaves, romancing as they fly. Night of flashing lightning bolts that dwarfs the 4th of July. No melting mountains, cherry blossom trees, dancing tulips of a flower farm, the sparkle of an ocean breeze, a sunset painting a masterpiece, vibrant in a woman's face, like a red carpet star with stunning hair, elegant. The eyes smile, touch the child, its bond with family. How amazing a pebble's seed becomes a sequoia tree. Stallion, deer, buffalo, llama, lion, lamb, myriads and myriads of life bestowed. What a difference. A human being, dreamer with an intellect, imagination renowned, free to choose what I select. Love, senses, gifts to astound, music, art, books to relate, technology in numbers to communicate. Wonderfully made, my heart extols with gratitude for these gifts given me. Wisdom, infinite, author, designer, may your name be praised.
Wow. Carmine, first, this is such a wonderful tribute to our Father. My heart became open and receptive of your words. Second, this is amazingly scripted. It shows so much gratitude for life and heart and what makes us who we are. And third, your imagery is striking and left a sweet taste in my mouth. Lovely, just lovely. My favorite part is the last verse. I think it says it all. Wonderfully made, my heart extols with gratitude for these gifts given me. Wisdom, infinite, awesome designer, may your name be praised eternally. I think that just is such a poignant piece of written art. I'm astounded. Thank you, Carmine, for this beautiful poem.
Well, I appreciate it, my dear. I appreciate it. Thank
yes.
You.
Let's see. Let's put you there. Jay.
It's beautiful the way it talks about an autumn wind dancing with leaves, romancing as they fly, describing all the things that are so precious to us that sometimes we kind of tend to overlook. A night of flashing lightning bolts that dwarf the 4th of July. How powerful that is. Snow melting mountains, cherry blossom trees, dazzling tulips of a flower farm, the smell of an ocean breeze. He's covering the gamut. He's telling us everything that is important to him. And it's important to us, too. And it's a reminder that we should stop and smell the roses. As hacked as that saying is, it's really true. We ignore all the beauty around us, and we should be grateful. And this is a lovely tribute to that gratitude and a wonderful reminder. Thank you so much.
Right on.
You're most welcome, my dear friend.
And AP, what did you think?
Well, it's easy as we grow older to lose track of the wonderful world that we live in. And it's easy to focus on things that are sort of tired and hackneyed and to lose connection with your inner truth, and to lose connection with all of the beautiful things around you. And Carmen, you've done a wonderful job of explaining that connection and that truth. And I think it's a beautiful poem.
Very cool. And just for that, AP, I put your poem up next.
Well, there you go.
There you go right there.
Well, yes. Now, this is interesting because it's free verse, Linda, as you saw. It's from a few years ago. Trains don't stop here no more. And it goes a bit like this. Truck rumble spew as the stutter of nearby trains grew further apart. Hanging fluorescent tubes had taken over from the sun as clouds rolled in. A part-finished bottle, pink lipstick on a half-consumed glass, and a doorknob askew on the floor. I had photographed each as I'd been studying their shapes and edges. It was the hour to clear them away, yet that finality closed too many doors. I reluctantly moved and saved her pasta in a clip-top container. For the wine, I found a cork and returned it to my Swedish pint holder. The doorknob and I would both screw back together down the track. Those trains would have to rattle a few timetables over until that took place. I stopped and listened for rain showers, and when they came, I stepped outside. And nobody could tell if those raindrops falling were salty or clear. Least of all me. End poem.
Wow. This was absolutely flawless, AP. It was a beautiful combo of nostalgia and inner feelings of loss. The imagery was artistic in motion. I was inspired by its lines and beautifully stated by each verse. It was kind of like a tangle between the trains and reality happening too fast. Great writing, AP. My favorite part was the last verse, and nobody could tell if those raindrops falling were salty or clear, least of all me. Very sad. The emotion was beautiful. Thank you, AP. This was wonderful. And Carmine.
This poem is very, very reflective as far as life is concerned, because the time changes everything. And, of course, we change with it. I love this work because it's very reflective, it's thoughtful, very imaginative, and has a very powerful ending, especially when he said he walked outside and the raindrops were falling. He didn't know whether they were, salty or clear, and then he says, well, who else knows? Least of all, I would know. But there's an honesty in this poem that is so real with all of us. So many things that happen in our lives are questionable, and sometimes we don't have the answers. But we have to be honest and humble about it and admit it. And in this case, he does. He explains it. He says all about the things that, had happened. And he also comes right from the very beginning, where he says, truck rumbles few as the stutter of nearby trains grew further apart, which meant that the trains didn't go there much anymore. In any event, his imagination is, I just loved it. And the title is very powerful because he says, trains don't stop here anymore. Well, there has to be a reason. And there's a reason for everything in our lives. I love that there, boy. You just keep on writing because there's so much imagination and talent here.
Thank you, Cap. Thank you.
Welcome, my
dear. Right. Beautiful comment. And Jay, what did you think?
I think this has put into words the things that we never see in other people, that we don't even realize are within them, all their experiences. He's talking about trying to make sense of his loss and the past, the reflection of time and the visuals, the dream state, the memories that he's going through. It's just lovely. I love the way he's talking about scenery, because it paints a picture for me. I can see the context of where this is happening in his mind as part finished bottle, pink lipstick on a half-consumed glass, and a doorknob askew on the floor. I had photographed each as I had been studying their shapes and edges. He's trying to record what's gone and bring it back with the camera, and it can't be done. And he's becoming numb, as he says in the very end. He can't tell if the rain is even salty or not. He's just exhausted trying to work out what it is. And I think we all try to do that with our past, even the very recent past, you know, try to understand it. And there is no understanding some things. You just have to let it be.
Beautiful. Nothing. Right on. Okay, and with that, I've put up Miss J. Showalter's piece. Is on the board.
Okay, let me find me here. The Babysitter's Night. This is going to be a real change of pace, guys, because it is not what you would call beautiful. The Babysitter's Night. By the way, this is a true story. Happened to me when I was about 13. The last thing she knew, it was 2:15 when the monster show came to an end. Her family had left her to babysit sisters. "Don't watch horror movies," they said. She headed upstairs to her bed. In anticipation of monsters in waiting, she wielded a cast-iron pot. She'd give them a thwack, and that would be that, escaping before she was caught. She began her ascent. On tiptoes she went, feeling her way in the dark. When her foot hit the switch of the vacuum, her sis had abandoned there, plugged in and parked. The old motor growled like a monster it howled. She froze for an instant, no more. Clutching her pan, down the dark stairs she ran and clean through the screened-in back door. She cleared Grandma's rocker. The hedge didn't stop her. Her neighbor's koi pond broke her fall. Down with a splash, and should anyone ask, koi fish do fly after all. No monsters were lurking, but flashlights were searching for koi fish that jumped the pond's edge, preferring the grass to the impending crash of a neighbor girl dressed in a hedge. The new fence is standing, too tall for crash landings. Two lawyers made short work of it. The judge, to her joy, took sides with the koi. He forbid that she babysit until she's of age, which, based on her ways, he ruled would be 46. End of poem.
JJ, this is hysterical. What a wonderful journey you just took me on. I remember those days. I found this whimsical tale from start to finish, which made me laugh out loud. You are a genius, Jay. I love the flying koi and such. My favorite part is verse 6. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah. She cleared Grandma's rocker. The hedge didn't stop her. Her neighbor's koi pond broke her fall. Down with a splash, and should anyone ask, koi fish do fly after all. That's hysterical.
thank you.
Hilarious stuff, Jay. This is a wonderful story that kids and adults can aspire to. Anybody that reads this has got to think it's adorable. And I want you to come back. Your stuff is very inspiring, and we love it. So let me give you some more comments. AP, what did you think?
I love the ending, that the new fence is standing too course tall for crash landings. I think that's beautiful. And the lawyers make short work of it, and the judge took the side of the koi. There's something, you know, very sort of, it's like a classic Grimm Brothers sort of fairy tale, which has got a conclusion that is meaningful. But it's sort of like that. It's written in that style. But it's incredibly fun and it's insightful, but it's incredibly fun as well. And I really enjoyed the humor and I really enjoyed the way it was written and the style of that conclusion. I thought it was lovely.
Thank you.
Right on, AB. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, let's just talk for a minute, okay? I mean, have you ever noticed of the variety of expressions and voices that had been just so inspirational, so fantastic, with fun, with glamour, with love, with death, every aspect of life, to the point where, you know, you'd say to yourself, wow, I mean, look what we're hearing, look what we are expressing in the form of the voices of these beautiful people who write like this. And then all of a sudden you come, you know, on a poem that's so delightful, it's so imaginative in respect to a babysitter, someone who his imagination just flies because it's fearful of monsters. And so what does she do? She picks up a huge pot, a very iron pot to protect herself from this. I mean, the expressions, the feelings, the imagery, the tale, well, there it is. It's just part of that entire feast of creative writing that writers of poetry should be very proud. And he did an excellent job there, and I'm telling you right now, he's got to keep on working on that because I love it. I read it twice. I loved it because I tell you, there were certain situations when I was a kid, as far as, you know, the babysitter was concerned, that, I shiver, okay. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Right on.
Thank you. How generous of you all. I'm the comic relief here today, so.
Word. Okay, I put mine up there, but I can't seem to find it, so let me refresh. No, I guess I have to go for it again.
It's there. I can see it, Linda.
Do you want to get it?
Yeah, no,
it's down towards.
It's there.
It's down towards the bottom.
Yeah. I can see two
of
them.
It is.
I can see your copy and my. Yeah.
There it is. This is called Moonlight on Still Water. My love for you was insane. As we waltzed to the music from an old phonograph where the amplified scratches skipped in three-quarter time, I kissed your lips and felt your flesh against mine. Our love was like moonlight on still water, bright and cool, reflecting our feelings to one another. There could be no one but you. My insanity grew deeper, like maggots gnawing on the inside of my brain. Love was in my bloodstream circulating through my body. Cardiomyocytes and endothelial cells interacted by remodeling the love cells now infiltrating my blood. I was sick with love for you. It invaded every cell of my body. You were mine. With every fiber of my soul, I knew I couldn't live my life without you. But then I heard you say those five little words I never wanted to hear. I don't love you anymore. And then there was silence. My voice fell like a shadow in the rain, stuck in my throat that couldn't speak from pain. Then my screams came, like children that have crawled through barbed wire. Now bloody, they cut their hands and knees until crimson drops fell to the ground. The echoes haunted me and I shuddered. I fell to my knees, my eyelids swelling from the tears that fell up red upon the earth. My mind finally snapped. and now insane, I lay here an angel of between life and death in poem. AP, you want to handle that?
Yes, I do. I'm going to go to Carmine first. Carmine, did you want to say a few words?
This poem is very, very intense. I mean, she shows with very dramatic expression the depth of her love for this individual. And it goes not just shallow, deep. The deepness is the moving aspect of her entire life. That's what she lives for. She lives for him. She lives for the love that she has for him. And for that to be broken is the devastating aspect of a tragedy of all tragedies. So she considers it as if it's between life and death. And if that isn't moving, if that isn't intense, if that is an aspect of life that now, in many cases, because of infidelity, is becoming rampant, then I don't know what tragedy means. I don't know what really heart-rendering pain means. I don't know what the love or the loss of someone whom have given your life for means. And that's what it is all about. Very intense, very meaningful. And dearest of host, Linda, you did a beautiful job. Beautiful job. And so, I don't know. I don't have any words to express, Linda. I was very, very moved by it. And we deeply appreciate your creativity, because it shows all shades of the talent.
Thank you, Carmine. That was beautiful.
Thank you, Carmine.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, you know, my heart speaks the truth. That's all it can say. I mean, I'm not going to say anything flowery, or I'm not going to say something for brownie points. It comes from my heart. And I've lived it, Linda, so I know. And when I express it, I express it with honesty and humility. And you deserve the best, my dear. As well as I mentioned, the other writers of your wonderful program.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you, Carmine. And Jay, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, it talks about how powerful you feel this love within you, and it's talking about being sick with love. It's like a poison in your body, a sweet poison that is going to kill you if you can't have it. That's how deep it runs. And the children crawling through barbed wire is a perfect description of how awful this failure of the romance feels. I can't imagine anything uglier and more painful than children crawling through barbed wire. Oh, my God. It must be horrible. And you've described it so beautifully. I fell to my knees, my eyelids swelling from the tears that fell red upon the earth. My mind finally snapped, and now insane I lay here, an angel of in-between life and death. It's taken you to a place that doesn't exist for anyone else but you. And that's how we all feel when love breaks our hearts. It's just beautiful.
Thank you, Jay.
Just devastating.
Thank you, Jay. Look, it's really interesting, Linda, because I could hear it in your voice when you got to that point in the poem, the impact of the piece on you still when you wrote it, and that impact of that event coming back to you and you making it real, as Joe said, with your
descriptions of how it felt, and it felt very real, felt very present, and felt very painful. It's hard to get all those things across in a poem, but you did.
Thank you, AP. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay, let's see. You want to grab Jenny's piece, AP?
Yep, I can do that. And I think Jenny needs a reader as well. Linda?
Yes, I'll read Jenny's.
Cool. Well, it's up on the board now.
I'm slow today. There we go. This is called Nary a Tip for Nary a Sip by Jenny the Deep. Ye subpar establishment doth requires a tip, when giveth nary a thirst-quenching sip. Raising prices like townfolk raises a glass, thin lines curve as the entity falls on thy ass. He just wanted a drink of cool water, water to cool off, but what she offered him was not enough. Took her fare elsewhere, not so unfair. Soon others followed, leaving the bar bare. A disheveled barkeep lets out a shout, leaving his post with nary but a pout. Buyers beware, thy is not welcome there, unless thou tip ye waiter, even if a greedy bear. Sellers be warned, don't expect grand tips, when ye can't even offer the smallest of sips. And, I lost it. Oh, yeah. Wonderfully Shakespearean, Jenny, and a whimsical sonnet besides. I think you did a fantastic job bringing in an old English rhyme. The imagery was hot, as was your poetic language. My favorite part was the last couplet. Sellers be warned, don't expect grand tips, when you can't even offer the smallest of sips. Makes good sense. I think this poem was written in very good old English humor. Great job, Jenny. Really great. I love the old English form of writing. And I actually found a site that will translate your poems into old English. It's really cool. But really nice job. Jay, what did you think?
I like the story. I've never read Old English, and so this was kind of a tongue twister for me. But I listened as you read it, and it started to make sense to me. I have to hear it. I'm an auditory learner. She just wanted a drink of water to cool off, but what she offered him was not enough. Took her fare elsewhere, not so unfair. Soon others followed, leaving the bar bare. You think he's got it coming? I was cheering
right
for her.
On.
Good girl. Take your leave.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, AP.
Well, it was true in Shakespearean times, and it's true today, Linda. You've got to do the small stuff, and if you don't do the small stuff, you don't get the opportunity to do the other stuff. And
that's
what this poem's about. Yeah, you basically you don't hand out the bits and pieces for water, or you don't do what you need to do. You don't open the door, and people go elsewhere because that's the way of the world. And as I said, through in the times of Shakespeare, it's written.
Right on. And Carmine.
I love the expression. I really love the expression of really, it's a combination of Old English, but coming into Middle English. And, of course, the ye, the Y-E, actually, were changed into T-H-E, the. In fact, it's really because it flows. The last part is talking about, you know, sellers be warned, don't expect grand tips when you can't even offer the smallest of tips. She's expressing her feelings toward really about the world of tipping, but the title expresses the entire poem, Nary a Tip for a Nary a Sip, which in many cases is not fair. So you got to give her credit for the imagination. She is really realistic in her aspect of it. And don't call people are cheesy. You know, they're cheesy. So if you're going to be honest with yourself and also with people who are really working for that kind of a living, then do what you have to do and show your respect for the one who is serving you. I love the writing, and she does, Jenny always does a fantastic job. This different aspect of what I have been saying. We loved it.
Right on. She would appreciate that. This last month.
Should be on the front door of every bar in town.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I lost my studio. What happened to my studio? Ah.
What happened to your studio?
Did you not leave a tip?
Yeah. It says free premium trial. That's not what I want. Let me try to refresh. Nope, it came back the same.
Well, have you got? I actually got the sound file for you, Linda. Left. Do we need the studio? We don't have any sound clouds left, do we?
No. No, we don't. I guess we don't need the studio anymore.
So this. As long as it's booted us out, which it hasn't yet, it might, but it hasn't booted us out yet. So.
Right. How about Lawrence 67 next?
That makes sense. We can do that.
And of course,
let me grab that.
Can you read that?
Oh, well, I'm happy to read it, Linda. It's just that if Lawrence 67 has a style all of his own. So
yes, he does.
It's something. I haven't pre-read this either, so warning. This is A Mammoth Race by Lawrence 67. It goes a little bit like this. The Chicken Wing Olympics welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 33rd annual Chicken Wing Olympics. Brought to you by the good people at Jubo's, who are kings of chicken wings and things. And the contestants are just about ready to line up for this historic chicken wing cook-off. And from the land of Kentucky, here is the one and only Kentucky Fried Chicken. Thank you, thank you. In lane number two, no introduction is needed. The Church's Fried Chicken, hallelujah, brother, hallelujah. Then in lane number three, we have the controversial Popeye's Chicken Wings and Things, where in the Things is where Popeye's got in trouble, claiming there was some steroids added to his thing. Popeye claims no responsibility. Here, they're mashed potatoes and gravy. You're looking good. Well, thank you. So are you. Did you get over your problem with your wings and things? Oh, yeah, that's a done deal. No more problem. And they're on their mark. Get ready. Get set. Pow! Oh, shit! Popeyes is down. Popeyes is down. He's been shot in the sides. His mashed potato and gravy are leaking. Oh, shit, I got it. Good, Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you, honey. Well, that will do it for the Chicken Wing Olympics brought to you by Jubo's Wings and Things, where our motto is, we've never seen a chicken wing that we didn't like. Good night, everybody.
Well done, AP.
That was a good job of reading.
Thank you once again, Lawrence, for bringing your humor and wit to my show. You just continue to bless us with your funny, funny, and I admire you to the bone. I think it's very honorable how you do continue to keep up the hilarity of common things keeps me laughing. My favorite part was verse 8. He's been shot in the side. His mashed potatoes and gravy are leaking. Oh, shit. I've got it good, Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you, honey. So cute, Lawrence. Thank you for all of your laughs. You are a hilarious guy. And AP, you read it. What did you think?
Yeah, he's great. A great writer. I mean, he's got a natural affinity with conversational humor, and so
right.
He couldn't be further away from it. Yeah. I don't know how he does it with conversations. They're brilliant. And the humor, he just every single time he hits with the humor, and that's just a real skill.
I had to read this twice before I got this part. His mashed potatoes and gravy are leaking. Oh, he's been shot in the thigh. His mashed potatoes and gravy are leaking. But the part, I'm coming to join you, honey, that's cool because they do serve honey with the biscuits that come with your chicken. So anyway, hilarious writing. Carmine.
He's a great storyteller. I'm telling you, he's hilarious. I really love this. And, I mean, when you can get and make something out of chicken wings, I got news for you. You're not only a good writer, you're a great cook. And then when things happen the way he mentioned about, you know, the poor chicken, whatever, getting shot, I'm telling you, that's storytelling. That's right. He's a good narrator of humor. And you have to have a special talent for that. Not everybody could do that. But this this work right here and his creativity is, it's fun. And people love to read fun things. People love to laugh because the world is depressive. It's dark and brings the smiles. And that's what he does. He puts a smile on your face. And for doing that, you got to give him a lot of credit. I love it. Great job, everybody. Great job.
Jay, what did you think?
I like the way it's telling a story. It's like he opens up the curtains and he puts a play on for us. And all the speaking parts are there, and you can just visualize everybody running around trying to get this thing settled. I'm coming to join you, honey. That's a great line. I like where he says they got in trouble claiming there were some steroids added to his things. And even down below on the comments, it says, why can't you hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom? Because the P is silent. It doesn't miss an opportunity to make us smile, and it's just fun. Just plain old fun.
So
it's
great.
So that's
our joke. Right. Yeah, he sends a joke every poem.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Gets into the move of the groove. So anyway, where do we go from here?
If we do Irish Rose.
We didn't do Irish Rose. She was supposed to be here, and I don't know if she wants us. She didn't say she needed a reader. But, you know, let me go back and do that for sure.
Because I've put it up on the board because I think that's the only one we haven't done.
Yeah, she didn't indicate she needed a reader, but I guess we'll go ahead and read hers.
Did you want to do that, Linda?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's up on the board.
Oodles and Oodles of Surreal Skittles by Iris Rose. Surreal Skittles are a homegrown thing. Out on the range, you give them lots of vitamins, so they bloom like harlequin flames. How long, curling vine tendrils, covered in golden resin whorls, sparkling in flashes of diamonds, glittering from bud to curl. Resin beams shine and shimmer, streaming in beam fall gleams that scream, colored in pastel metal glint and early fall, fog flings, fritters caught silently shimmering, colored in oodles and oodles of rainbow dripping Skittles that shiver and quiver in the rain's soft soaking golden stream. In poem. And you see, I have something for Rose. This is adorable, as is full of imagination, a delightful trip with colorful and sparkly attire. Your rhyme scheme came out well and felt and bet this poem personality to a T, as does your alliteration. I love how you gave your poem an accent, not easy to do, but you did it well, making this so outstanding. My favorite part, I'm not sure what verse it is. They bloom like harlequin flames with long curving vine tendrils covered in golden resin, whorls sparkling with flashes of diamonds, glimmering from bud to curl. So descriptive in the imagination, and this is outstanding. Thanks, Gwen. I adored the trip through Surreal Skittles Land. Very cute. Carmine, what did you think?
I'll tell you right now, as far as her work is concerned, she's got a wonderful imagination here. The language flows. I mean, it's very colorful. I love the last two lines when she talks about colored and pastel, metal glint and early fall, fog, fritters, caught channeling, shimmering. Very expressive, very colorful, very imaginative. She paints with beautiful words, and then when she expresses oodles and oodles of rainbow-dripping Skittles that shiver and quiver in the rain's soft silken golden streams. That's beautiful writing, very, very flowing, and I really give a lot of credit for that. The rhyme and the imagination is very unique, especially with this poem, because something like this, the title itself, is hard to write about. But what she, for me, it would be, Lord have mercy, it would be. But for her, it's just like water, like I said, just flowing into the rivers. And she did a beautiful job. She deserves a lot of credit for this.
Right on. Well, I'm going to take the time here to thank all my beautiful poets, AP, Carmine, Jay, Deb, Gwen, our Iris Rose, Dave Muddy, Heavenly Angel, Ethan Smith, Quicken, Jenny the Deep, Lawrence 67, and I think that's, Titus, and that's it. I want to thank you for always participating in my show, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have a show. And with that, I thank you all. Now that the show's over, we want to take Carmine back to the chat board.
Yeah, we can do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, if you can see... If you've been reading the poems from on the board under the team of voices, and you can see the links, they're called group messages, that come up under a team of voices. Can you see where I am? Am I? The board that you've been clicking on the poems and going to the poems from. So it's called the sort of group message board.
Yeah, it's where you get your links to read the poetry, sweetheart.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Messages.
Can you?
Yeah, where you put messages and stuff. You can type a message.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Can you move that up past the last five or six or seven or eight poems and the links? And there's a comment from Deborah Lee there.
He's going to have to do history.
You should be able to just pull it. It's on the same screen still, Linda. It should be able to go use the cursor to go up to the top comment because it's still from Deborah Lee. I don't think you'll need history.
On mine, it's my poem is the top comment. I had to do history.
Okay.
And then full history.
Just depends on the size of the screen.
I'm trying, guys, but I can't see that.
No,
I still can't seem to find it. I'll probably find it tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, no, that's okay. We'll do it. We can do it offline. That's okay. That's okay, Linda. We'll sort it out.
I appreciate everything that is mentioned on the show as far as my work is concerned, and I express my feelings, as I mentioned, with humility, and it's an honor for me to be a part of all of you and your creative writing and the imagination that just explodes with all kinds of emotion. And that's what it's all about. I think we have a rarity among the peoples of the world because what we have is a special gift, and this share it among each other is it's treasurable. It's part of something
When you go on this link and you go down to a box that says trending in poetry, they've got your name highlighted.
Oh, okay. That's great.
It's really
cool. I really do appreciate it. You know, I tell you what, you guys know how to make a 93-year-old guy cry because, in another month I'll be 93, and for this
to be a part of
my life now, which is a wonderful gift in itself because life is precious. I have no words to really express my feelings. It's just a part of me, and very few people my age can say that. Because they're not even around. So,
that's right.
bless your heart. That's what I say. And thank you.
You are a rare
Well, I'm sure I speak for everybody when I want to thank Linda for her choreography. She's like a starter at the racetrack, and all the ponies have to get across the line at the same time, and you do a beautiful job. It's second nature to you.
Thank you.
You were meant to be a hostess, and thank you so much for making this possible.
Yeah, I couldn't do it without AP, though. He's a big help in the studio. Think about AP.
Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome. You guys are great.
Well, Linda, I've got into the studio, and I was going to finish with a song. Can I finish with a song?
Okay, and then you can sing us out.
And I can take you out because I'm in the studio. So remember how we were talking about the Little River Band, and the song that built my old house. I was going to play that. I was going to play Reminiscing by the Little River Band. Continue. The song that built my former house. Okay, here we go. Thanks, Linda, for all your help, too, for your hard work. And this is the Little River Band from Melbourne, Australia, with Reminiscing. See you next time.
That song.
There you go. Well, that's the end of the show. Thanks to Carmine. Thanks to you. Thanks.
Job well done.
All about.
Thank you very much, dearest ones. And as I always say, you know, have a great day, but a better tomorrow. So good night, and
thank you for making
my life much delightful to be among wonderful people. Good night now.
And remember, the next show is on May 10th and then the 17th.
That's
I know,
wrong.
Okay.
I
put that on
thank
your calendar.
Well, but now.
All right.
I hope.
Thanks, AP.
Okay.
Cheers.
Bye now.